Gospel according to Matthew, the third chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. And then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him, and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." This is the gospel of the Lord, the good news. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from the one true God who creates, redeems, and sustains us this morning and always. Whew. These are some striking words that we hear from John the Baptist this morning. Words that aren't bright and cheery by any means. Words that, at least on the surface, don't resonate with resounding joy. Words that are more frightening than they are enlightening. Maybe. Provocative words, anyhow. Words that stir something up inside of us, get us itching to what? To run? To hide? To discuss? They make us want to react in some way, though, don't they? They're powerful words. Words that command your attention and demand a response, a reaction. Let me tell you, folks, these words have sparked a reaction in me. These words have got me wanting to talk about something. These words have got me wanting to preach this morning. Can I share a little bit of my mind with you today? Can I share with you what these powerful and scary words of John the Baptist have provoked in me this morning? Can I tell you what's on my mind? Can I? Musicals. Broadway musicals. Well, more specifically, a musical. One musical. A musical from the late 60s that was turned into a movie in the early 70s. A hippie rock musical. Well, not that hippie rock musical. Not Hair. That's not the one I'm talking about. No. The hippie rock musical that from the 60s that was turned into a movie in the 70s. That's about Jesus. Well, okay. Not that hippie rock musical that was made in the 60s, turned into a movie in the 70s. That's about Jesus. Not Jesus Christ Superstar. No, folks, today I want to talk about Godspell. The hit hippie rock musical from the 60s that was made into a movie in the 70s that isn't Hair and that isn't Jesus Christ Superstar. Godspell. Based on the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel we are dwelling in this liturgical year. Godspell, which tells the story of Jesus in a tripped out, roaming, carnival, hippie, movement kind of way. And particularly in the film adaptation, begins with striking shots of New York City, Manhattan to be specific. And then, off in the distance, crossing the Brooklyn Bridge, there's a man dressed in bright colors pulling a cart filled with theatrical props and other things, and on top of that cart, a shofar. Anybody know what a shofar is? A horn. An ancient horn. He plays that horn walking across the Brooklyn Bridge. And as he enters into the island of Manhattan, he starts to sing. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Godspell begins with this song being sung by John the Baptist as people from all walks of life hear this singing, hear this song resounding throughout the vast urban canyons of steel and glass in New York City. They begin to walk away from their daily lives. Following that song, they walk away and they start to even shed themselves, not like in Hair, okay, we're not going that far, right? But they lose their purse, their shoes, their uniform from work. They shed their old selves and join this figure, this John the Baptist, in the waters of Bethesda Fountain. In Central Park, and begin to sing along, splashing in the water, set on a new path. This season of Advent, this season of almost, this season of preparation, this season of hopefulness can be a very rich time. And as we begin this season of Advent, as we lean into those ever-darkening skies and look for the light of that glorious star of Bethlehem, we are reminded by this call, this song of John the Baptist, yes, even these harsh, terrifying words of John the Baptist, that we need to be on the watch. That we need to be prepared. So how are we to prepare? What are we to do to keep watchful? How do we get our ducks in a row? My wife, Emily, as you know, is an actor and spent some time studying clown. One of her teachers, Christopher Bays, a performer who got his start professionally here in the Twin Cities, but now teaches in New York City and elsewhere. Chris Bays teaches that the clown is the unsocialized self. That is the childlike self who has not encountered all the rules and hang-ups of grown person responsible life, but still enters into the world filled with wonder and curiosity and, well, joy. These people dancing around, splashing around in the fountain, singing along in this hippie rock musical about Jesus, following this John the Baptist character, are almost less hippies than they are clowns. People who have rediscovered this unsocialized self. They have been set free. They are unencumbered, unconcerned with the societal, economic, cultural expectations of how people should experience the world or think about things or, you know, behave. They are called to encounter the world with awe, to meet everyone with love and grace, and to engage with all of God's creation with a sense of deep curiosity and reverence. This calling is starting to sound pretty familiar, isn't it? Now, to be fair, John the Baptist's words in our gospel text this morning are certainly a lot harsher than they are in Godspell. He's a pretty happy, lovely character in that play. John's vision of the coming of the Messiah is a bit more striking, more urgent, more frightening even than in the images of these playful folks splashing around in Bethesda Fountain while singing that upbeat tune. Might they also, though, be a little more refreshing? Might these harsh words from John the Baptist provoke something new in us? Might they awaken the childlike parts of us that see things in new ways, almost wholly new each time we encounter them? These words, harsh as they may be, can have relevance for us too. John the Baptist is telling the religious elite, the Pharisees and the Sadducees who have come to see him preach, the powers that be in his culture and society at that moment, he's telling them to be sure that they are seeking to uphold and glorify the power of God, not simply seeking to maintain their own. John the Baptist is describing a God who seeks to unify people, not separate them, codify them, categorize them. God seeks to build up the people who are not only descended from Abraham, but to those who seek to be good bearers of God's promise to Abraham, to be blessed, to be a blessing. Now, there's an important clarification I need to make here. This is not an example of John the Baptist calling out the Jewish people or the Jewish faith for doing something incorrectly. Sometimes when we as Christians read these texts, we make assumptions like this. And when we make this assumption, as it has been made many, many, many times throughout our history, we cast ourselves as the other side of that coin. If they are wrong, we are right. If they need repentance, this brood of vipers, then we have already repented. They need correction. We are here to do the correcting. We assume a sort of authority over how the right way of believing in God should look. But when we do this, we find that we are much more like the people John the Baptist is preaching to than we are like the holy man in the wilderness. What does it mean, then, if we are that brood of vipers? Yes, us. What does it mean if our tree is not bearing good fruit? If John the Baptist were to confront us here this morning at CTK, if John the Baptist were to confront the ELCA or other denominations, if John the Baptist were to stand there in his camel hair, waist deep in the Jordan, with bits of locust in his beard and the smell of honey on his breath, honey as wild as the look in his eyes, if John the Baptist were to look at each of us, call on us to repent, to change, to turn our lives around, what might we have to say for ourselves? Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. In this great time, this time of great division, political division, economic division, racial division, the list goes on and on and on. We seem to be obsessed with litmus tests. Do you say that you are this, liberal, conservative, anti-racist, pro-America, Christian? Well, do you check all the boxes? You say you believe in God, but do you go to church? Which church? How often? In person or online? Contemporary or traditional? In these weeks ahead, as we continue to light our candles and sing our songs and offer our prayers, may we also receive the words of John the Baptist. Not only the pleasant tune that we are humming in our heads right now, but also those words that are harder to hear. Those truths which we are always so willing to point out about others, but that we'd rather not face about ourselves, our institutions, our church. Let us seek to see ourselves in a new light, even when, especially when, that light is unflattering. We are called, not only as individual followers of Christ, to repent, to turn around, to change our ways, to prepare for the coming of the Lord, but also as institutions. Especially now, especially at a time in history when the people are crying out for this change, especially now when the gaps, the income gap, the health care gap, the food gap are expanding and expanding more rapidly than ever before, especially now during this season of Advent. As we prepare to celebrate Christ's coming, not only with the food and the decorations and the presents, but with our hearts, our minds, and our actions. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. In these weeks ahead, as we continue to light our candles and sing our songs, may we receive those words and let us respond. Let us respond to the words of John the Baptist with a childlike sense of wonder and curiosity and a drive to do and be better. Let us resist our grown folk urges to be defensive, to be reactionary, to strive to point that finger at someone somewhere else. Let us see the world anew. Let us hear the word anew. Let us shed our old selves in the waters of baptism and live our lives anew. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Amen.